right here.
Welcome to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are, whatever's going on. I hope it's in your best interest, okay? Good, bad, indifferent. Sometimes things just have a way of working out no matter what we have in our mind at the time as to how helpful they are. In other words, you know, sometimes you meet the most interesting people when you have an accident or an encounter or an engagement. These people are fascinating because, and I'm talking about my guest today, we're going to talk with one, all right? But we're going to have his wife back in another show, subsequent show. But this is about a whole group of people called the Sasquatch people and the interdimensional connection. The book by Kiwani Lapsaritis is absolutely fascinating. So if you are in any way, shape, or form interested in what legends say, you know, Bigfoot, the Yeti, all that, we're going to talk about that and just kind of get ready for a really fascinating introduction. Kiwani, thank you. I'm so glad. And I know the weather is kind of funky where you are. I appreciate you making time to talk today.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Now, to give people just to kind of dive right into this, when you first encountered Sasquatch, or, you know, I'm not sure what the best term is, Bigfoot, the whole nine yards, and an ET, an alien, together, that's just mind-boggling to start the story that way. But apparently, that's probably a real good kickstart for anybody who's interested in either, because you had the experience. Can you share that right now to give people a frame of reference on where you're coming from and what happened?
Yes. Well, first of all, I've been doing the Sasquatch research for 61 years now. And so during that time frame, I, being a social scientist with 4 degrees, I came from a Darwinian perspective. In other words, I always believed that they were a people from the very beginning, but, you know, more of a primitive people living in the forest, which is not entirely true. And so in September of 1979, I was in the at the edge of a forest out in Wisconsin, and a Sasquatch started to telepathically speak to me. Well, I found it hard to believe, and I was wondering why all these voices were coming to me, but he was very cool. And whenever I started to think about, is he this and that, or is this real, and whatever, and he's, oh yes, I am here, I am the Sasquatch man, and I have been watching you for many years now, longer than you know or understand. This is crazy, I thought, and then before I knew it, a very sophisticated voice came through and said, I am a star person. I, too, have been watching you for many years now, longer than you know or understand at the moment. And I realized every time I thought something, he would answer me, even though I wasn't talking to him because I don't know telepathy, at that time, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Finally, I said, well, where are you? He says, I'm in another dimension just above you in a UFO, as you people call it. Well, after I experienced all this stuff, I thought, well, I'll never tell anybody. No one will believe me. In fact, I was having a hard time believing it at the time, even though it was happening. And at the time, I was an administrator, assistant director of an urban First Nations agency working for the Native American people. I was working part-time as a hypnotherapist, and I had been doing a series of lectures at the Medical College of Wisconsin. So I was totally ill-prepared for all this psychic stuff. But now, since then, 1979, and 38 years since this happened, the paranormal has become very normal to me because it opened me up, sort of the Kundalini or whatever they did germinated the side of me that was not psychic. And so I started to have psychic ability. And,
okay, now, before we go any further, the one thing I do want to say, and I want to stress, because anyone who is listening and has not had a Kundalini activation or awareness, this is strong stuff. This isn't just a lightweight kind of, I'm going to go say om for a few hours and feel, you know, and zone out. This is an intense formatting of your body, your hard drive, your energy system. And it sometimes for people, it can be extremely disconcerting, confusing, and it'll knock you for a loop, just to put it mildly. So I want to mention that right now. What Kiwani is talking about is a very intense activation and shift in pretty much everything that you do. I don't want to make light of this, but the thing is that I know people who've gone through this who've had incredible after effects, and there's just a way of saying right now, be careful what you ask for before you say, hey, I want to experience all this, because Kiwani's giving you an overview, and if you do open yourself up, then be prepared for a response. Does that make sense, Kiwani?
Yes, because after that, I start leaving my body and floating around my apartment. I heard all these voices all of a sudden, and I looked out the window from my apartment on the third floor, and there was somebody walking by on the street, and I was listening to their thoughts. And all this is a surprise to me. And then I started having the ability to locate missing people and that kind of thing. And in 1984, I found the most wanted criminal in the state of Oregon, working with the district attorney and the state police. They hired me to try to locate this man that was killing. He was a serial killer and chopping up his victims afterwards. So he's still in jail and so forth. So it made international.
You're also a master dowser, correct?
Yes, that's.
Did you do that with the dowsing, or was this also the telepathy, the ESP psychic ability?
Both. All of the above.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to put this out before we got too far into it, because you've had some incredibly intense experiences and mind shifts. And so this isn't something that all of a sudden you decided you were, you know, interested in this. It when you're approached like this, they've done their due diligence as well, and they're trying to approach somebody who's not going to be totally fried energetically.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the mainstream conservative researchers that have been unsuccessful over the last 60 years, and just because they're chasing an animal, a monster that doesn't exist. You don't treat people that way, but they don't view them as a people. So all this has changed how I feel. And, of course, I was in and out of denial for 2 years. I mean, I was having ongoing experiences, and I thought, well, you know, it was still struggling with that reality, because they'd appear to me and then dematerialize, all kinds of stuff. And eventually, when I had a very severe ruptured disc and was in a wheelchair in 1987, they told me I'd never walk again unless I had this experimental surgery. I had so much pain. On a scale of 1 to 10, my pain was a 10.5. I just laid there in bed, and I couldn't move or do anything. When I tried, the pain would accelerate and intensify. So nobody could help me, and I really searched in my mind for resources, not wanting experimental surgery, because I saw the negative effects from several people. And that's when I started to telepath to the Sasquatch's associates, the star people. I was living in Oregon at the time, and there was I was on a UFO flight line. There was a vortex behind this mountain right there. It was sort of a large hill or small mountain right across from me, where I had my cottage, and it would land behind there somewhere. And this continued on. I used to see them, and I had people come. We'd stand there on the porch and watch them go by. So I said, I'm going to telepath to them, because they're there all the time. And so I did for 2 days straight while I was just laying in bed. And I'd have neighbors and friends come to do my laundry and bring me food, because I was crippled, completely disabled. So for 2 days, all day long, I telepathed. I was very desperate. And being a extremely athletic most of my life, and carrying a 110-pound backpack and be able to travel 6, 7, 8 miles in a day with it without bothering me at all. And all of a sudden, I couldn't even walk. I couldn't do anything. And it was a, you know, horrible thing. So after this, at the end of the day, I broke down and wept and wept. I was so frustrated. The pain was so horrible. And I just thought, nobody's, you know, I have no recourse here. And so I wept and wept and got that out and released that. And that night, when I reached over to shut the light off, there was some noise behind me, some shuffling. And I turned around as best I could in bed. And there were three 4-foot beings standing there with little suits on. And they said, "We have come to heal you." And I said, "Thank you. You know, come ahead." I said, "Thank you. God bless you." That's what I said. And they put me out. And then somewhere along the line, I don't know how long, it could have been 5 minutes, it could have been 30 minutes, I heard a strange voice in my head that, you know, something like this. You know, some strange thing like that. And it woke me up. And when I opened my eyes, one of the little guys was on my left. One was behind me holding a cylindrical object near my head. And the other one was to his right. And I looked up at him and I said, "Oh, it's only you guys. I love you," I said. And they put me back out. I mean, what do you say to beings that are healing you?
Thank you. Yeah.
The two greatest forms of adulation in the universe is "I love you" and "God bless you." Love and God are synonymous. So I said that, and then I was getting about 3.5 to 4 hours sleep a night because of the pain. So I was constantly exhausted. But I woke up 10.5 hours later, completely rested, no pain in my back. And I sat at the edge of the bed before walking to the bathroom, but I was sitting there giggling, saying my morning prayers, and giggling and giggling and giggling for, I don't know, about 20 minutes. I still would not stand. I was still incredulous at what had happened. So finally, I just got up and walked to the bathroom, but I noticed a pressure and a pull in my lower back that was abnormal, and I realized my gait was short. I couldn't stretch out. So I just said, well, that'll probably go away in time. But I stayed at home all that day, just very aesthetic. And that night when I shut the light off, I heard the noise immediately again, and I looked around, and they said, "We've got to do one more healing on you." And I said, "Thank you. Come ahead." And the next morning, I was completely fine, as if it never happened. It was like a miracle. Well, 2 weeks after that, I was going to visit a friend 35 miles away that had a wilderness ranch, a 1,000-acre ranch, and I used to visit him every couple months. And so I planned to go over there. And at the end of the day, I said, well, first thing in the morning, I'll head out there. And then it was on a Friday evening, and I realized they didn't have ATMs, but I didn't have any money. I said, oh, I forgot to go to the bank. So I quickly drove into town, and when I got a parking place there, I noticed it was 5:07, and my bank closed at 5 o'clock. Again, there were no ATMs or anything. So I jogged down the street as fast as I could to make it to the bank. And just as I got to the corner, one of the doctors that I saw that said I'd probably never walk again was crossing the street. And his face was that as if he saw, you know, Elvis Presley or something, you know?
And E.T.
So he stood there pointing to my legs. He was bald-headed, and he kept rubbing his forehead, and his mouth was moving, but nothing was coming out. He was just totally stunned. And I said, have a nice day, doctor. And I jogged across the street to the bank on the corner.
He had to think he was having a vision at that point. Oh, my, this is surreal. Okay. So you, at this point, have had a tremendous healing at that point in your life. Was there any kind of request from them at that time? Was there any exchange of you know, we expect or any expectation?
No, they didn't say anything. But what I came to know as time went on is that I have the personality and the background as also a professional speaker, professional writer, that they zoomed in on me and knew that I don't back down. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to complete. And so at that time, I had five chapters done in my first book, The Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connection, that came out in 1998. And my second book came out in 2011, The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection. Now, all of this, you know, was, again, I'm still trying to adjust to everything, but they told me eventually that, because you've devoted your life to helping and getting this information out, we are here to help in return. So they've done all kinds of things, that I would be on until supper time if I started telling you everything.
And so we're going to have you back, Kiwani. Okay. So just, it's don't worry. What's so fascinating.
But all this is in my books, of course, but the thing is, like, they've helped me all through, over the years, and wherever I go, they're waiting for me. And, they've helped me so I didn't get into automobile accidents and stuff. And I mean, there's a long list of things, very, very long. But one of them was like 2012. I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and I had pressure on my right eye. And they took care of that. So and they didn't even ask if I had insurance.
funny. Yeah. Well, yeah, you are the insurance. Okay, my question then, when you're talking about the paranormal stuff that goes along with this, not only that, but you know, you mentioned auto accident. What kind of paranormal stuff are you referring to?
Well, I mean, they would, for example, Kelly and I and my six-year-old son was heading out to go to the next town over, 20 miles away on the highway, and they told us to wait 15 minutes before we leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because someone would drift over the solid line and head-on collision might have killed us.
Yeah.
So we waited 15 minutes, and I said to Kelly, my wife, I said, they just saved our lives. She said, I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and incidentally, Kelly, they introduced Kelly to me, my wife, and I. Yeah. She was living in Arkansas, and I'm, you know, living in, at that time, 50 miles outside of Seattle in the foothills, in a cabin in the foothills of the Cascades. And so they connected us, and I asked why. This is wonderful. They said, she is your true soulmate, that you've been together over many other lifetimes, even on other planets. So you've been together a long, long time, and together you will do more work for us and enjoy it. And you, she's got skills that you don't have, and she's a computer whiz, and that doesn't interest me. I can do basic things, and that's fine, but she is a whiz. And so all these different skills that we shared, and her and I, but they told her to contact me, and she did, and it was a very strange experience. She was kind of afraid, and she thought it was bizarre, and I thought so too, but all this stuff just fell together, and you know, a year and a half later we got married, and so we she moved up from Arkansas, and we're, everything goes so smooth with us. I mean, we're not a perfect couple, but pretty close.
Well, but that's it. You don't have to be cookie cutter. That you guys complement each other, which is a real important factor when you're with somebody who's a companion.
Precisely.
What,
so
what the question?
All these things, because we are helping. Now, in last September of 2016, we had our first conference called the Spiritual and Psychic Sasquatch Conference. And we're having another one this year, 2017, in September September 1st to the 3rd. And people came last year from several people from Australia, from the UK, from Russia, from Norway, from Canada. They came from all over. This year, there's people coming from New Zealand and Japan and so on. So there was several hundred Sasquatch at the conference. Now, we had it in the wilderness. We discovered a wilderness campus, beautiful little tiny campus, literally in the middle of the wilderness, that's right here in the town of Chewila where we live. So they came from all over the North American continent, the Sasquatch people did, and the ancient ones, in order to put their energy and to observe, because they said we're the very first people, very first, that have put on a conference that was telling the truth. They could care less about tracks and hair and all that stuff. They don't care if there's proof or not. They're not trying to do any of that. They just want communication with people, but they're very picky choosy who they want to talk to, and they only go to people with a higher vibrational frequency. That is, those that are on the spiritual path. I have made my living as a health consultant, holistic health consultant, a master herbalist, and also I'm a trained hypnotherapist. So I could have several degrees. So, you know, all of that has played into this, and we just want to put the word out that stop the monster hunting. We want to demonsterize, if that's a word. It's a word now, I guess.
yeah.
Yes, with the people that have such big egos that they want a trophy. They don't get it. They don't want to believe us, and I'm not trying to really prove anything. Pardon me. I'm trying to simply put another perspective out there that we found is true. For example, to date, there's 393 people, 393 percipients, witnesses that have had telepathic experiences with the psychic Sasquatch. Three of them were physicians. One was an attorney. Three were college professors, and two were scientists. And then people from all walks of life. Plus, I have experienced them well over 1,000 times. They talk to us sometime on a daily basis here at home, to my wife. They talk to my 6-year-old son. All of this, it's wonderful. And so we experience them on a very personal level now, and they're guiding us, and we're doing the work because we're the mediators, the go-betweens. So we're trying to just put out the truth, which we have, and have people who've had these experiences that didn't want them, that didn't even believe in any of this stuff. And so they're our speakers. They're the real experts, not these people that claim, oh, I've been doing this, or I found this or that, and then they write books claiming they're experts when they're not even talking about the real Sasquatch. So it's kind of sad that most of the researchers are in that level. I know that I was invited to speak at a conference last year, and then the person called me back the next day and said, well, the speakers, I talked to some of the other speakers, and they said that, you know, we shouldn't have you, so I'm kind of withdrawing my offer because they said, you're a little too far out. And I said, well, as far as I'm concerned, the reason all these other researchers that are going to be at the conference that are unsuccessful, I said, because they're not far out enough. So
good comeback.
And that doesn't offend me at all. It's just that these people have a lot to learn. I don't know it all. I'm learning all the time. But, you know, what I do know, I want to share, and it's sharing it for a purpose, because this is peace, nonviolence. Because everyone wants to solve, not everyone, but many people want to solve their these problems with violence. It's not necessary. And there's a lot of information out there that is not true about a lot of negative stuff about the Sasquatch people.
Okay, now we're going to have to take a break. Kiwani, we'll have to take a break here in a minute, but we're going to come back. The book is called The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection. I want to get into that interdimensional thing, because when people have a sighting, these other people you're talking about who are also in contact, and whether they want to or not, they've had a sighting, they're having a connection, and it might be a little bit frightening at first. I'd like you to kind of walk us through what some of the other people who've had these experiences that you know are legit, what they've told you and how they, you know, how they come to terms with that as well. And then we're also going to get into the other book that you're promoting, The Sasquatch Message to Humanity with Sunbow. Okay, so hang on a second, and we're going to take a quick break, come back more with Kiwani Lepsaritis, and Kelly isn't on today, but we'll get with her in the future because she's also has some extraordinary information to add to this. You're listening to Conscious Living.
So you see, son, good manners are very, very important. Someday, many years from now, when you're a grown-up, you'll be a man. And when you are, you should be a gentleman. Do you want me to go through it one more time?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open for ladies. If a door's shut, then knock first. Don't burp, don't swear, don't speak with your mouth full, don't reach across people's plates, keep your elbows off the table.
What table?
And don't interrupt. While we're at it, don't stare, don't use foul language, don't call people names, but do remember people's names. Always share your toys, play nice, and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. On the bus, give up your seat to anyone who has trouble standing. Bottom line, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Walk to work, walk the dog, have the dog walk you, take a hike, take a bike, skate, dance, hop, jump, do the Humpty Hump, skip seconds, skip dessert, skip, skip, skip to my loo, don't skip breakfast, drink H2O, lower your sodium, raise the roof, shake your booty, stock up on vegetables, and don't forget to eat them. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening. My show today is about a lot of different things between multidimensional being, believing, having a Kundalini awakening, experiencing telepathy with an ET and Sasquatch. And it's just, there's a whole lot of stuff going on here, Kiwani. And my guest, Kiwani Lepsaritis, is an experiencer and has been since, what was it, 1979 when you had the first encounter?
Yes, this year, that was 38 years since they started communicating with me, and it's been well over 1,000 times. After that, I just can't keep track anymore.
Well, what was that? Were you as a child, telepathic, what outdoors person? What was your interest? What do you think was the invitation to connect with you?
Well, they told me they were there at the moment of my birth, and that my soul is different from the average person, and some of the people like Kelly, like my son, like Sunbo, and other experiencers, their souls are different, and their vibrational frequencies are different, and they're attracted to that. And,
okay. That part, I mean, when they're saying that some children here are star seeds, and there's also the indigo child there,
yeah.
That makes sense. Some of the children who are reporting telepathic contact or ET contact, and then all of a sudden have these incredible pieces of information. And I'm talking about the information I've gotten from Mary Rodwell, who is an experiencer and contactee and does tons of research on children in Australia. It's just, it's mind-boggling the numbers of people who are reporting different kinds of connections. I wanted to, people who talk to you.
I know as a child, everything was animals, the forest, the wilderness, hunting, fishing, all of those things were a part of my life growing up in the 1950s.
Okay. And when people who have these experiences now and they approach you, there has to be some relief for them, but also maybe a little bit of uncertainty as to how you're going to respond. How do they talk to you? What do they say? What is their experience and their belief about these things?
Well, in the beginning, they would most of the time, they don't show themselves in the beginning because of their gigantic size, and how they look is scary to people. They don't understand. But I've had people, one person contacted me. He found my, my first book in a thrift shop for $5, and he bought it. And he said, oh, my God, this is like, he's having these experiences, none of them psychic yet. And but going out and hearing them walking around, and he can feel something that is different, which was the psychic ability. So once he read my book, he wrote me a long letter and put his phone number there, and I called him. And he thought I would never call, but I always follow up. So I started helping him and teaching him telepathy and so forth. And now he's a major contactee, and he has his own book out and everything that just now came out. And so called Sasquatch Revelations by Andrew Robson. So
okay.
There's people having experiences that had a very cursory interest in the Sasquatch and didn't know that they were an evolved people and so forth, that just had to be living inside of a animal-like body in order to survive in raw nature, of course. But they said that they were seated here and that they were, they called it, they used the word bioengineered. They bioengineered them, and then they said later they bioengineered us. The ETs did, and deposited us here. And this is what they said. So it's pretty interesting, and it was a struggle for me in the beginning, bouncing back and forth between what I was raised to believe and my education and everything, and making some of these statements, but they've been around for millions of years, the Sasquatch people.
Well, and they're in different parts of our planet, and you mentioned you talk about that as well, and visiting some of these places.
Yes, they told me there are seven different races of their people worldwide. He said some were, about 3.5 feet tall, another one about 5 foot tall, the ones in Indonesia. Then there's some around 6.5, 7 foot, and then there's the super giants that are 12, 15 feet. So there's different ones. They said the woman Sasquatch that explained this, she said the Yeti is the least evolved of all of their people, and they're all different races of people, each one of the seven races. So The Yeti's been told to be a little more aggressive.
When I first spoke with you, I thought it was fascinating because I had a dream that night, or within, you know, a few hours of having talked about this topic. And I'm in the dream. This is very short, so I can share it. I'm at a restaurant, you know, some, you know, just a your basic everyday run of the mill, like a steakhouse or something like that. I'm at a restaurant, and this tall, hairy, dark, like an orange orangutan, dark, you know, being about, I would say about, you know, again, 6.5-7 feet tall or larger, comes into the building, and he's so really, really angry, very angry. And so I run out. I remember thinking, okay, this isn't a good place to be with this being who's so extremely angry, agitated. I go out to the forest, and I'm standing on the edge of the forest, the field, thinking, I'm not sure if this is any safer. But I remember the sense in the dream of feeling like that being was incredibly frustrated and had no way to communicate. I didn't feel it as a personal assault, but I felt there was a message that was not getting through. And so I thought, well, that'd be an interesting thing to ask you about, because this is a way that we do connect in the dream plane. And since I have had absolutely no interest in my life of going this direction, to immediately speak with you and have a result says that there's more to this. It's happening on multiple planes. And this is another way, if you're listening and you are connected, then sometimes these things come to you in dreams and visions, and that's just the way we connect. What would you respond to in terms of that?
Well, first of all, they're frustrated. The planet's dying, and people still don't get it, especially people in power. And a lot of things have happened over the last 8 years here in this country, and there's so much negativity attached to it. So all these different things are happening. Our forests are still being clear-cut in Indonesia and Borneo, in all these other places all over the planet. The Amazon, which I've lived on the Amazon amongst the Tacuna Indians when I did an ethnographic study back in 1973 in conjunction with the Columbian Institute of Anthropology. All these places are just being ruined. The planet's being ruined right now. And Fukushima, of course, there's a lot of it being released, the radiation into the air that drifts over our continent. So there's all kinds of strange things happening. I would never, again, eat fish from the ocean because it's all contaminated. So this is a big deal. I mean, we are next on the endangered species list, folks. So they said if we die, they're going to pass away too because everything's contaminated and they're frustrated. How stupid can people be? Just for money and power? Wake up, people. This is all negative, wrong, and it's all self-serving, and it doesn't help the planet. The people in power need to help. If they've been elected, they need to help the people under them. That's why they're there. This is for the people. But they always do things, apparently, a lot for themselves. And this is wrong and illegal and very negative, and which is creating a negative effect on the planet. So they're very frustrated with how we handle situations like, at Standing Rock over there in North Dakota. So we've got to, oil is more important than fresh water and making people sick. Wait a minute, that's crazy. There's no compassion, no empathy, and no practical sense at all.
The big picture.
Money and power overtake it. So the forest people are very upset about all this. They say they love us unconditionally, but they're also, with these people, they're frustrated.
Well, the other thing, too, is the ET, the star people part of this. And what angle, what aspect of that bring into it?
Well, they're all the same. They work together in a console. There's all these different, I've seen 7 different races. My wife, Kelly, I think, has seen 8 or 9 that have come to her as well. And so they're, the Sasquatch are all a part of that. They're all a part of the, keep in mind, if you, the Sasquatch are 100 times more evolved than we are. So we get the researchers get racially prejudiced and start treating them like animals and monsters. This is a racial issue as well. So it's insulting to them when they're labeled monsters and stuff. They're fed up with it because there's enough information from me and other people out there to say, hey, this isn't right. This isn't working. Read my material and start waking up and have more peaceful approach to them, and they'll come to you. They'll prove. I won't prove it. They'll prove it themselves to these researchers that they're an evolved people that can telepath. I've watched them dematerialize in front of me 3 times. Other people have too, appear and disappear. It's just a part of who they are. They're that evolved. So stop looking at the hair, and they look different than us. I mean, we've gone through this baloney with the Afro-American people, with slavery, what we did to the First Nations people, wiped out millions of them, and what we did to the Chinese when they came over to work on the railways, because they're different. They were treated as subhumans. We've got to stop this nonsense and start evolving more spiritually. Spirituality simply is respect for all living things, whether it's a plant, the soil, the water, animals, people, doesn't make any difference. It's respect. It has nothing to do with religion other than many religions are more spiritual than others, I feel, in how people accept and approach these things. So this is important, what I'm saying. Again, the planet's dying, and we've got to wake up to some of this stuff.
I'm on the website, thepsychicsasquatch.com, and the message here from Camus, it's a beautiful message. My people was created as part of a cosmic plan to allow ancient souls of star beings to incarnate on this young planet and help it evolve into an intergalactic outpost of consciousness while discovering its many resources and life forms. And that's Sasquatch elder brother Camus. Am I pronouncing the name right?
Yes, Camus. Keep in mind, that sounds science fiction. And what the things they talk about, and it's not. Wake up. A lot of the stuff that was science fiction is now science fact. So we must understand that. I mean, there was a movie came out, I don't know when, maybe it was 1948 or 50, somewhere in there. And I saw it as a boy called Harvey. It was a James Stewart and his invisible giant rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought, you know, that's fantasy when I saw it, and it is. However, there is some kind of juxtaposition with what's going on with the Sasquatch people and ETs that can follow you around like they do us. There were 3 of them in our house this morning that greeted me good morning. I didn't see them. They stay invisible. I've seen them in the physical 9 times. I've seen them several hundred times where I could see through them or just their outline, you know, of energy coming at me, standing there in the room talking to me.
When you are in contact and you know this is happening, are there other indicators aside from, you know, the telepathy? Is there a smell? Is there a sound? Is there a feeling? Do you have a sensation? Do your ears ring? You know, are there other clues?
Yeah. First of all, there's 3 kinds of telepathy, which I've experienced all 3 at once, which is what they can do. I'm still growing and evolving in that area. But there's, first of all, verbal telepathy. There's feeling telepathy, which is clairsentience. And then there's visual telepathy. So all of these are ways to communicate. However, with me, my body starts vibrating as if my whole body turned into a vibrator. So I know they're there. And then all of a sudden, I can feel what part of the room they're in and how many and everything before they even say anything. So
see, that's
it is an indication. With Kelly, she gets a ringing in the ear and plus that. It's slightly different with some people.
No, that's why I'm asking, because I know, having my own experiences, that there are indicators, and you're not making it up. You have a tangible connection that says, all right, next, please. Okay, I'm ready. I got this, and I'm okay to, you know, I'm awake. And the thing with this is, go slow, because these kinds of encounters, you are meant to explore, expand, and evolve your own awareness whether it's telepathy or consciousness, there's something going on that will affect you physically. And if you're not prepared, it can be a train wreck.
Yeah. Well, my 6-year-old son last month, he's taken a bath and we leave him in there for 20 to 30 minutes because he plays and with his toys and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Kelly went in to wash his hair at the end of the she always does at the end of the bath. And he is sitting there all smiles. And he said, "Oh, Mommy, Bigfoot scared me." Well, he's been interacting and even playing with the juvenile Sasquatches. So he's not afraid. So when she said that, she was like, "What?" And she said to him, "What?" And she said, "Well, look, he's right there." And he pointed to the corner of the bathroom, and there was a Sasquatch standing, which you could see through. And Kelly turned around and looked at it, and it was smiling, and Jeremy was smiling. And she says, "Well, you don't mean he scared you. You mean he startled you. You know, he's mm-hmm. not afraid of them." But he said that because it started getting, he's just a little boy.
Right, so, right. One language. No, I was just going to on to the next thing. When he's interacting, they're obviously trying to convey that this is something that we can accept or not on our own level. If we don't pay attention, what's the next step? Are the star people going to come in and save certain people, or is this just all going to go up in a puff of smoke?
I'm not sure I understand your question here.
I know that the message between you and Sunbow and the Sasquatch people is that we have to change our ways. What if we can't? What happens?
Well, evolution goes on. I mean, they said those people of a higher vibrational frequency, they're going to help. And those that are discarding all this and that have made money, power, sex, food, they're God, instead of serving others, then they're going to perish. How, I don't know. But this earth, they said, is going through two different dimensions, from third dimension, it's in the fourth dimension now, then go into the fifth dimension. How? I don't know, but it's a cosmic event, apparently, that happens every so many thousand years. I mean, who knows? I don't know, only what they've told me. What I understand. So something, I don't know all the details, but something's going to happen. And the good guys will come out on top eventually. And the other people somehow, in some way, will perish with their negativity. They've gone to the dark side, a lot of them. One said to me, they said, there's those people in the light, or that are walking towards the light. We like those people. Then there's the gray people, those that don't do anything. They're not hurting people, but they're not getting the truth out. Some of them are even hiding the truth because they don't want to be laughed at, you know, or ridiculed, and so on. And those people are the gray people. They're not living in the truth. And then they said there's the absolute dark people, you know, that are evil. So they see people, apparently, explained it anyway in that way. So they want to help those that are serving others, trying to help the planet, that are getting out the real information. And many people can do this. They can help in their community. They can change their ways and think about their lives and what they want out of their lives. And the thing is, I'm a healer. So just like the medicine men and the shamans that they've been going to for centuries talking to and helping. And they're going to people who are spiritually evolved enough doing healing work, because you can't be a healer unless you have empathy and compassion. You can't do it. So with those two things, it raises your vibrational frequency. So if Hitler, for example, his vibration is so low that, you know, he needed a ladder to climb up to get to hell.
That's really not fun.
No, but I'm trying to make a comparison of energy, because people go, "Why you? How come you?" You know, people get defensive and they're wondering why they haven't gone to them when they're aggressive. when they're angry,
angry.
When they're attacking me and other people. I'll kind of, no, you'll never. They don't want anything to do with people like that. You know, they need to. And these people have not read my material. They just maybe watched me on the internet or read an article about me. I'm in articles all the time, and so they judge. Let them judge. It doesn't bother me. It bounces off. Their words don't mean anything. I'll continue on in my life and my mission that I feel.
You know, yeah, you know your experience. Nobody has to validate it to prove it. The Sasquatch message to humanity, that's your collaboration with Sunbow, because we're going to have to leave real in a few minutes. But that's the next step, because that's what's coming out from them.
Yes, they decided that they want, this is information they want the world to know. So in addition to my two books, I'm also selling his books that we published, which is, again, Sasquatch Message to Humanity, Book 1, which is out now. You can get it on the Amazon right now, over at Amazon. And the next book will be out in a month, which is Sasquatch Message to Humanity, Book 2. So I've written the introduction to both of these books, and this is what they want the world to know. It's wonderful information. I mean, absolutely wonderful. So we encourage people to try to understand the phenomena by reading some of these books. This is, if they don't want to buy it, fine. I'm not trying to be a salesman. I'm saying I'm not going to repeat myself over and over again when it's all in a book form already. That's why That's why books were written and printed. So there's a lot of information there, and we working together to put all this out. Kelly does a lot of the editing and designing, and we all contribute to this. So they use the word channeling, but it's really giving information directly telepathically, and he just writes it down. So it's mind-blowing information that answers to things that people always wanted to know.
Well, and it's fascinating reading. And if you're ready for a mind shift in terms of how you think about what we've referred to as Bigfoot and Sasquatch and Yeti and the whole nine yards, then this will give you an entirely different perspective. Then the word interdimensional is crucial. That makes it a whole new ballgame. They're not going to be waiting for you to come look at them. They're going to show if you are in the right mind frame to be receptive. And that's pretty much all there is to it. If you're not, well, there's no encounter. I think that pretty much explains it.
Yes, I'd like to, in wrapping this up more, I'd like to make a quote from my book here, my second book that I have. And this is a quote by a Zen monk who once said, and I quote, "All life in nature has a spiritual dimension and is sacred. When we honor other creatures as we do ourselves, we all evolve another step," end quote.
That's the respect.
Yep, that's the respect. What's so difficult in that? We just have to really wake up and say, gosh, I'm angry all the time, or gee, I attack people often, but people don't see it that way. They think it's okay. You know, all the protesting and stuff is just from our president-elect and all that stuff is crazy. You know, yes, it's divided a nation, but you know, I think it's important that people understand that you get more done by through prayer and through positive action, not through negative protest.
Part of it is a learning curve, and that's where we are right now. That's why I wanted to get you on to talk about some of these things, to give people a different way of seeing, for one thing, Bigfoot. This is just a very new and unique point of view. And when you've had experiences that you know for yourself you can validate, then it takes your own reality to a new level. So expanding telepathically, consciously, energetically, all of that comes into the same under the same umbrella. But Kiwani, we're going to have you back. I want to have you back along with Kelly to talk about, you know, the next book, the second book coming out, and also how you guys met, the information she gets from this. Because if your son is experiencing that, then this is a fascinating story.
Well, thank you for having me on. And the people interested in my book or more information, go to www.psychicsasquatch.com and sasquatchpeople.com. if they're interested in my books. And there's a lot of information out there that they can continue to read.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a great start. So we'll make an appointment here the next couple of months or so to get you back on. And in the meantime, though, keep writing your stories and connecting with people, because anyone who's had an experience like this needs a support system so that they can feel that they're not alone. And I can just say that there's a lot going on here that people can't see, but you can definitely feel it and sense it. And that's where we're evolving. So don't doubt your own ability to pick up on what you know in your atmosphere and your environment, because it's waiting for you to wake up. How's that?
Yes, and I'm not afraid to share that reality. This is universal reality, not my reality. So
absolutely.
I won't argue with anyone, but the 393 witnesses that I documented might argue if you tell them that it's not true.
That's okay. No. We're coming back. No argument. Hey, you take care. Thank you for listening to Conscious Living.